you. Hello and welcome, Blue Jay fans, to episode 22 of Section 138, a weekly Blue Jay podcast for all things Blue Jays. I'm Mark Culley from 360 Blue Jays News and Bluebird Banter. As always, we're joined by Blue Jays Nation. Today, we're recording this on Saturday, September 30th, the last day of September. It's been a crazy month, a very up and down month for the Blue Jays, but especially interesting with all these September call-ups. So today we're going to be talking about Josh Donaldson, his recent performance, and of course the rumor that's been circulating about the Cardinals interested in him. And then after that, we'll talk about Teoscar Hernandez, his recent performance, how good he's been. We talked about that a bit last week, but definitely in the past 7 days, he's been so good. And then we'll also talk about Jose Bautista. We haven't had a chance to talk about him and the crowd reaction to him so far. Of course, he'll be facing his final game as a Blue Jay, more than likely, tomorrow at Yankee Stadium. I'll be there. I'm really looking forward to it, but he got a great send-off from the home crowd on Sunday in his last Blue Jay game last week at Rogers Center. So we'll talk a bit about that. But we'll start things off with Donaldson. Just his recent performance in his last in the last 7 days, so since we last recorded, he's batted .455 with 3 home runs, 6 RBIs, only 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, of course, not the greatest, but .455 batting average in the last 7 days. I went to a game, I think it was Monday at Fenway Park, and he was a triple shy of the cycle, and then the next day, he hit 2 home runs, and he's just been crazy so far. Do you think that this success is sustainable? I certainly do, because previously in the season, he was injured, he did perform well, but when he was injured, it kind of detracted from his performance. So now that he's performing really well, I think he can keep it up. Maybe not at this pace, but what do you think?
I think you nailed it. Exactly what I was going to say. Josh Donaldson should sustain this. I see no reason why he wouldn't sustain this success that he's been having. As you mentioned, he was injured earlier in the season, and that just completely messed up the first half of his season. But ever since then, he's kind of returned to his MVP self. We saw 2015 and 16. He was amazing. This season, minus his injury, he's been amazing. And, you know, I think this season it was just a case of it took him a little longer to heal and fully recover. And once he did, he started tearing it up again. That's, I think, simply the case. Because he went into the All-Star break with, I'm not sure how many home runs, maybe like 15 or around 15, I think, and ever since the All-Star break, he's just been tearing it up, maybe like leading the league in home runs or something. I think I heard someone say that, but I just know for a fact that Donaldson is a great player, and ever since he's fully recovered from this injury, it's just been, you know, all right, the typical Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, I would say the one thing that does concern me about his performance, I said earlier, at least in the past week, is that he's had 7 strikeouts and only 1 walk. But over the season, he hasn't been that weighted. He's had 76 walks and 110 strikeouts, which obviously isn't the best ratio, but, you know, especially this year with strikeouts being up, home runs being up, it's not out of the ordinary to see that kind of ratio. And what really is astonishing is that in 112 games, so he's missed 50 games of the season. Of course, if he's playing today and tomorrow, he'll have missed 48 games in this season. But he's still had 33 home runs, 77 RBIs, 76 walks, like I just said. He's been phenomenal. And if you just look at the counting numbers, like home runs, RBIs, hits, doubles, triples, it looks as if it's a full season, and maybe a little bit of a down year for Josh Donaldson because he's so good. But even though he missed 48 games, he has been so good, which I find amazing and kind of heartening for next year. If he can stay healthy, he'll be great. But I guess the question now that we'll be talking about is whether he will be with the Blue Jays next season. So there was a rumor yesterday, I believe it was Bob Nightingale of USA Today, that reported that the Cardinals, with their hitting situation and infield situation, will be interested in Josh Donaldson and will, quote, strongly pursue him in the in this upcoming offseason. He's not a free agent. He still has a year left on his contract, but obviously he is arbitration eligible, and the Cardinals can trade for him. I personally don't think that the Blue Jays will trade Donaldson. I know we've talked about this before on the podcast, I think a few episodes ago, simply because, you know, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, I think it was Shapiro who told the media maybe about a month ago that they would not be trading Donaldson unless they can get better for 2018. And it's really hard to get better for 2018 in a trade that includes Donaldson going somewhere else. So I think they'll keep him. And of course, if they do trade him and get better for 2018, the return has to be enormous. So in the end, I think they'll keep him. But what do you think?
Yeah, I perfectly agree with what you said. There's no reason that I think Josh Donaldson will get traded this offseason, and I don't think anybody should really worry about him getting traded. I've seen a lot of people on social media worried about this and in kind of a state of panic, but I've done at least what I could do telling them, you know, this is not anything to really worry about. I said this is really something you kind of take as a grain of salt. He's not getting traded, in my opinion, whatsoever. And I was listening to, I think it was a Tim and Sid episode, they had Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn on, and they were talking about the possibility of this trade happening, and they said Josh Donaldson has a player option, I believe, for 2018, and after that, he would be a moron to not test the free agent market when he will be a free agent at the end of next season. So, and you got to think that if he tests the market, he's obviously going to get a lot of big offers from big teams. And that's when you start to think, oh, okay, well, is he really going to stay with the Blue Jays? Is he going to leave? You know, there's some question there. So I think in the Blue Jays, or Mark Shapiro's mind, they think, well, maybe keeping him beyond next season is a little questionable. So let's keep him for this season or the next season, which I agree with. And I don't see why he would get traded. Like you said, unless the Blue Jays get a return that specifically helps the 2018 team, and I just don't see it happening. So I think a lot of people just kind of have to relax, take this as a grain of salt, and you know, if Josh Donaldson was going to get traded, I think we would have heard Mark Shapiro say, you know, we're considering the offers, or we're doing something that could indicate that they want to trade for him. But so far it's just been nope, not trading him, don't need to worry, and I completely trust what he's saying, and I don't think Josh Donaldson's getting traded.
Yeah, it's a difficult scenario to imagine him going somewhere else, especially, like, we have these rumors of the Cardinals being interested. The Cardinals were rumored to be interested at the beginning of July, I think, if I remember correctly, but the Blue Jays have shown no tendency or no evidence of actually wanting to trade him. And I brought up a quote from Mark Shapiro. This was August 10th from Sportsnet 590 appearance. Shapiro said, quote, "It's hard to imagine any scenario where we're a better team without him. He's a pretty special player, and now he's gotten healthy over the last couple weeks, it's a reminder of just how great he is offensively and defensively. We want JD here." So it's pretty clear that they're not going to trade him, although, you know, things do change. But personally, I don't think they'll trade him in this offseason. As you mentioned, he'd be an idiot not to test the free agent waters before signing an extension or even just re-signing with the Blue Jays. So I think he certainly won't take an extension with the Blue Jays. So knowing that, I think it would be logical to see, you know, if the Blue Jays aren't doing as well as they want to do in 2018, they can trade him, and they have the ability to partway through the season before the trade deadline. And I think that makes sense because, it doesn't rule out the possibility of him coming back even in the offseason, although it's probably really unlikely. They should capitalize on his abilities halfway through the season if they're not doing well, but if they are doing well, you certainly want to keep him to keep the team doing well. So I don't think trading him is permanently out of the question for the Blue Jays, but it's an option, and it's not likely to happen if the Blue Jays do well next season.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's an option, but you know, at least for now, Donaldson, in my opinion, will remain a Blue Jay, and I don't really think anybody should worry about that. Next season, yeah, it's questionable what happens, but I think at least for, or until April of next season, or next year, he's going to be a Blue Jay, and nobody should really question that.
Mm-hmm. Here's another quote from Shapiro I just found. This was, again, in the same 590 interview. He said, quote, "As far as the future, for right now, it's next year," about keeping Donaldson and staying competitive. And then, quote, "We'll explore, at the right times, privately, whether there's an opportunity beyond that." So that language, again, indicates that they aren't looking to trade him before his contract expires at the end of the 2018 season. So looking a bit more towards the future, towards possible, hopefully, lifetime Blue Jays. We talked about Teoscar Hernandez last week a bit. We were discussing whether he'll get, you know, the starting role in left field or even right field with Jose Bautista gone, and what that entails, and whether the Blue Jays should look externally for another outfield option. And you can listen back to last week's episode if you'd like to hear more about that. But really, since we last recorded, Teoscar Hernandez has been insane. He's hit 4 home runs, and that included home runs in 3 straight games that started Saturday of last week. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They hit a home run in 3 straight games, and then he had a few hits in Monday's game at Fenway Park and a few hits on Tuesday, Wednesday. He's just been phenomenal. In the past week, past 7 days, he's hit 4 home runs, like I said, 9 RBIs, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts, and a .286 batting average. Like Donaldson, one of the most concerning parts about Teoscar is his strikeouts. He has been striking out a lot. He's had, if I pull up the stats here, if they ever load, he's been striking out a lot. And even though he's batting .286, even though his on base in the past week has been .375, it's kind of concerning how much he's been striking out, because if you just look at basic stats, 31 strikeouts in 24 games with the Blue Jays and only 5 walks. So usually that type of ratio is not sustainable, and you'll see a kind of regression to the mean. And we saw with Richard Urania, he regressed to after a few games at the major league level, he started striking out a lot. Pitchers were figuring him out. So do you think that kind of thing will happen with Teoscar, or do you think he can kind of find a balance between this lots of strikeouts and still good on base?
I'm not sure. I think definitely his strikeouts number will go down. I think this season, this is his first, if I believe, his first full month in the big leagues. I don't remember exactly how long he played with or at the MLB level with the Astros last year, but you know, he's a top 10 prospect for a reason, and I think eventually, you know, pitchers adjust to him, he will start adjusting to pitchers and figure out how they want to attack him, figure out what pitches or what the pitch looks like when it's being thrown or released from the pitcher's hands. You know, he'll figure stuff out. He will eventually learn how to hit or not strike out and start to put up good at-bats at the major league level. But I think, you know, he's really experienced right now. You know, like I said, he's a top prospect for a reason, and I think eventually things will sort themselves out and he will be, you know, the great hitter we've seen so far, minus the strikeouts, because like you mentioned, he's at a .286 batting average and with 8 home runs and 20 RBIs since September 1st. And I believe he leads all Blue Jays that made their debut on September 1st with home runs, which shows that, hey, this kid is really something. And I think eventually, or for now, the strikeouts are not great, but eventually he'll figure things out. He'll kind of settle in as a major league hitter, and I think definitely next season, if he gets a lot of playing time, he will see what major league pitchers are all about at a more consistent rate, and he won't strike out as much. He'll be more of a consistent batter.
Uh-huh, and the stats I was providing, that was for the past 7 days, but obviously that included an off day in there, Thursday. And if you don't include that off day, if you just look at the past seven games, he's hitting .310 with six home runs. That includes his two home run game, obviously, just at the last seventh game. 11 RBIs and 13 strikeouts. And again, that strikeout stat being brought up. I think, like you said, the pitchers will adjust to him. And if he wants to find success, if he can find success at the major league level now with the Blue Jays, he'll adjust to the pitchers. And obviously, we saw Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro be very optimistic about him, let's put it that way. Before he came up, they were saying he had a major league ready bat right then when they traded for him. So I certainly think, if the scouts are putting this faith in him, you know, he was the number five prospect with the Blue Jays when he was traded. If they're putting this faith in him, I think he'll be able to perform and extend that performance past just, the past seven games, the first 20 games with the Blue Jays. I certainly think that his time with the Blue Jays in September is really beneficial to him because he didn't get a lot of playing time at the major league level with the Astros. Obviously, in 2016, he had 41 games at the major league level with the Astros, but at the same time, he batted .230 and hit four home runs, and he's hit eight home runs in 24 games, half the time with the Blue Jays, double the home runs. So I think as he gets more playing time, he'll develop how he wants to adjust and how he wants to approach things at the major league level. And obviously, everything is an adjustment. We saw Joe Biagini this season. He did really well last season. And then this season, obviously, he struggled with a bounce back between the rotation and the bullpen. But he has kind of struggled a bit. And Roberto Osuna, another great example. Like he's been really good at the major league level before, but he's going through a tough phase right now where he's trying to develop more strategies and stuff. So I think we'll see that with Teoscar, and it's just part of him developing and growing up at the major league level as a hitter and in the field. So I don't think it's anything too much to worry about. One of our topics for today is Jose Bautista. Obviously, last week we talked about him and his future with the Blue Jays, but we didn't get a chance really to talk about his kind of lore in Toronto, what fans think about him and what legacy he leaves with the Blue Jays. And the fan response to him really has been crazy. Not so much on the road. There hasn't been much of a response to him on the road. But in his last game at the Rogers Center as a Blue Jay, he got an amazing response, which I totally think was justified simply because he's such a great player. And he's been with the Blue Jays for so long. He kind of put baseball back on the map in Toronto. This week, he's playing his last two games as a Blue Jay at Yankee Stadium. What do you think the response to him be? We already saw last night or last afternoon on Friday, there wasn't much of a response, but he's there will be Blue Jay fans at Yankee Stadium on Sunday and obviously today, and I will be one of those Blue Jay fans there tomorrow. So what do you think the response will be to him? Do you think there'll be a lot of booing from Yankees fans, or do you think Blue Jay fans obviously will cheer for him, and do you think Yankees fans will cheer for him?
I think Blue Jays fans will definitely cheer for him. If they don't, then they might as well not call themselves Blue Jay fans, because Bautista is one of the icons when you think of Blue Jays legends. You know, he's one of their greatest players ever. But Yankee fans, they're little bit of a different story. They have the reputation of not being the nicest fans when it comes to dealing with the opposing team or even their fans. But I think we'll hear a little bit of cheering from them, more probably some of the younger fans that are not really in this whole let's be rude to every opposing team and their fans when they come to our stadium. They're going to say, yeah, you know, this guy's a real great player and he deserves acknowledgement. But I think there will be boos from some Yankee fans, especially the older ones who are not really on board with his style of play or just don't like him at all. But I think overall we'll hear a mixture of cheers and boos. Most of the boos, or all of the boos, coming from Yankee fans. Most of the cheers coming from Blue Jay fans and a tiny bit of from Yankee fans, but I think the response he got from the Rogers Center last Sunday, I think it was just amazing. You know, we saw he got standing ovations for every at bat in that homestand, and he was just acknowledged so much. I loved how at the start of the game the entire team let him walk onto the field by himself, you know, and the fans all cheered for him. He acknowledged the fans, and it was just a great moment. And then in his final inning at the Rogers Center, when John Gibbons substituted him, you could see emotion all throughout him, his teammates, as he hugged out his teammates, went to the field, or got off the field, high-fived everyone in the dugout, and then gave the Rogers Center fan crowd a curtain call. And, you know, that's something you don't see every day. Yeah, it's hard to describe because he is such a great player, and, you know, it's almost, even myself, I still can't even believe that his time as a Blue Jay is about to be over, and anybody that says it isn't is just wrong. You know, it's sad, but it's over now after this season, and I think this is definitely one of the greatest moments that I've ever witnessed when it comes to sports or just anything. You know, seeing the acknowledgement Bautista got was amazing, and it's something I'll never forget. You know, he is the player I watched it all throughout my life. Some guys talk about Joe Carter, all those types of guys, watching them in the World Series days. People like me, you included, a lot of people that I know will talk about the Jose Bautistas, the Josh Donaldsons, the Edwin Encarnaciones of the team. And he's definitely, you know, a guy that nobody should ever forget. He was amazing. And I think the reaction that he got was just phenomenal. And if it was his last game in Toronto, which I still think it is, I'm happy about the way it ended. His performance was great, and the acknowledgement for him was also great.
So moving on to our next topic, we'll wrap things up with talking about what the Blue Jays should do in the offseason. Obviously, earlier we talked about Josh Donaldson and the rumors surrounding him with his trading, whether he does get traded or not, as we previously established. But what do they have to do this offseason? We talked about it a bit last week. I personally think they have to acquire one or two outfielders just to secure that. And if they are truly trying to be competitive, they will have to get one or two outfielders. I think they're pretty good in the infield because, you know, they got tons of good utility men in Ryan Goins, Darwin Barney, Rob Refsnyder, Richard Urania, possibly starting the season at the major league level. So I think they're good in the infield. And I mean, it's not optimal to have Ryan Goins and Darwin Barney starting at the same time if, you know, Troy Tulowitzki gets injured again, Josh Donaldson gets injured again, but it is doable. And it's not the end of the world if that does happen. As far as starting pitching goes, I think they need one or two more starters, preferably two, simply because, you know, one skirting past at the bare minimum we saw this season, that will not work because injuries do happen, and who knows. So Aaron Sanchez's blister, who knows how that will go. But past that, in the bullpen, I think they're pretty good. They had a few pleasant surprises this season in Danny Barnes, Ryan Tepera, of course, Dominic Leone, Roberto Osuna should be back to normal next season. Not that he was awful this season, he was still really good. Let's start with the rotation. How many starters do you think the Blue Jays should get, if any?
I think they need to at least get one, and by one I mean Alex Cobb. The Blue Jays were one of the teams that were looking into Alex Cobb, and we're going to pursue him this offseason. And the second I heard that, I thought, get this deal done, because Alex Cobb is a pretty durable starter. He averaged 207 innings pitched per season over his career with the Rays, which is very reliable. You know, that if you take that into consideration or if you compare that to the Blue Jays this year, Marcus Stroman has pitched 200 innings, and I don't know off the top of my head if anybody else has pitched 200 innings, but I know 200 innings out of a starter is very reliable, and he has a career 350 ERA, which I'll take that any day, because you got to think, even if they do get him, he would probably be their third, fourth, or maybe fifth starter, depending on where they need him. And if your third to fifth starter has a 350 ERA, you know you're in pretty good shape. Yeah, I would have said sign Marco Estrada, because why not? He's a great starter, but that happened. They signed him to a one-year extension. So, but other than him, I'm not sure who they should get, I mean, or go out and acquire, because right now the rotation is looking to be Stroman, Estrada, Happ, hopefully Sanchez, keyword hopefully. I still don't think you can really rely on him for a whole season yet. Maybe Alex Cobb if they go and sign him. And then who? You could consider to go get Joe Biagini back in the rotation, but I think for now I got to put him in the bullpen for a little bit. So I'm not sure. I mean, any low-level starter, or any non-big-name starter, you know, just a guy like maybe Brett Anderson, they could get back, have another lefty at the back end of their rotation as your fifth starter. I wouldn't mind that at all. But other than that, I did some research, and I don't remember any starters like a Brett Anderson or an Alex Cobb that were going to either be free agents or are on the market. You know, like, there's a lot of free agents that are going to be wanting a lot of money, and I don't think the Blue Jays are going to look for those types of guys. So to sum up the rotation, I think they have to get Alex Cobb and sign Brett Anderson, you know, fifth starter, could pitch out of the bullpen if something happens and somebody else goes into the rotation. I don't know, but all in all, they got to sign Alex Cobb, in my opinion, and then consider Brett Anderson.
Yeah, if they got Alex Cobb, I think that would solve a lot of their problems. You'd get guy who can pitch 170, 180, maybe even 200 innings, and he is a quality starter, and at least if they have him on his team, he won't be shutting down the Blue Jays anymore. And I think that would be a good option. You see Marcus Stroman, he's the only pitcher with the Blue Jays to hit 200 innings. Of course, he has not yet hit 200 innings. He needs 3 innings today against the Yankees that Saturday to get to 200 innings, and then 7 innings pitched, I believe, to pass his career high in innings pitched. But that's besides the point. So, yeah, Alex Cobb, yeah, I'd love to see him with the Blue Jays. As far as Brett Anderson, you know, I definitely prefer if Brett Anderson was not who we're relying on for 150 innings, 170 innings with the Blue Jays, because he has not shown in the past that he can do this, especially this season. He's been really off and on, especially at the beginning of the season with the Cubs. We saw a few bad starts with the Blue Jays. I definitely would prefer if they got a better pitcher than Brett Anderson, or at least a more established pitcher than Brett Anderson, simply because they would be more reliable, all likely. Really, Brett Anderson is not the pinnacle of pitcher success. But yeah, in the end, and I'm not saying no to re-signing Brett Anderson. I'll make that clear. Like, re-signing Brett Anderson, I think, is a good deal, a good idea, simply because then you have some minor league starting pitching depth, or in the bullpen as a long man, or even just for one inning, if his stuff works out that way and can be shown that way and useful in that way for only one or two innings. So I'm not saying no to re-signing Brett Anderson. Certainly it would be nice to have that kind of depth, but it's not optimal to have him as a starting pitcher for the entire season in any way, unless, of course, he does prove us wrong and do well. Joe Biagini is another interesting option, and as far as things go now, I believe the Blue Jays are intent on seeing him in the starting rotation next season. I believe John Gibbons was talking about that, and they're going to try him out in the starting rotation next season, which, of course, that would limit it, the options that the Blue Jays need. That would lower it by one, if you're going by my standard of two starting pitchers that they need. But I still like two starting pitchers, even if they think Joe Biagini is going to be is going to be starting the entire season simply because of injuries. And, you know, Biagini has not been reliable this season. So what makes you think he can be good for an entire season? Of course, he can be. I'm not doubting that. I just want to have options available. So I said my opinion on the bullpen. I don't think they need anyone. Although, you know, depth is always great. But I don't think they should spend a lot of money on the bullpen, let's put it that way. Do you think they need anyone in the bullpen, or do you think they're fine?
I think they're fine, to be completely honest. They have a great bullpen right now with Osuna struggling, but still a great closer. Ryan Tepera's been phenomenal this year. Danny Barnes has been great this year. Dominic Leone's been great this year. One thing we're kind of also forgetting is before the trade deadline, Joe Smith had a phenomenal half season with the Blue Jays, and I've mentioned this a lot before. I was a huge fan of his. I still am a huge fan of his. I wouldn't mind him coming back. You know, maybe on a 1 year, maybe 2 year deal. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't mind him. You know, they don't have to go get him. If they don't, I wouldn't be disappointed in them, the Blue Jays. But if they're looking for just more reliable relievers, Joe Smith, I think, would definitely fit that category because he is a free agent after this season. Again, not sure how likely a deal with him would be, but if it was up to me, I'd be calling his agent right after the World Series is over. But if they don't get him, like I said, not the big deal. They have enough relievers right now.
Yep, exactly. There's really nothing to add to that. There's no other aspect of the Blue Jays that really needs to be addressed, I think. I think they're pretty good as things stand now. Of course, barring injuries and barring the performance of other teams in the league. And speaking about that, the Red Sox and Yankees are in the midst of a hunt for the AL East. The Yankees are 2 games back. I believe they are 1 game from elimination as things stand now. So if the Blue Jays win today, that's Saturday, you probably already know this while we're watching while you're listening to this. But if the Blue Jays win on Saturday, then the Yankees are eliminated from AL East contention, and the Red Sox clinch the AL East. Of course, if the Red Sox lose today and tomorrow, and the Yankees lose today, win today and tomorrow, then they clinch the AL East. Or they may need a tiebreaker. I'm not sure about that. But they're at least in contention. So if they both of those teams do really well next year, if the Rays do really well next year, which certainly is a possibility after their performance this season, and they showed that they have a willingness to win, or at least the front office does with their trade deadline deals. If those three teams are good, it'll be certainly tough for the Blue Jays to compete, even in the wild card, where, you know, this season it was kind of awful, but it will be hard to compete depending on how the other teams in the division do. So we'll wrap things up there, a bit of a shorter episode this week, but thank you to everyone who listened. Again, this was episode 22 of Section 138. I'm Mark Cully from 360 Blue Jays News, and as always, we were joined by Blue Jays Nation. So thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.